Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's been a pretty wild 24 hours, and not just because of the Super Bowl, but you've got the stock market kind of going nutty today. It finished the day, it just closed just a couple minutes ago, finished the day down 1,175 points after losing over 600 points on Friday. Some major correction just in the last 5 days, and it's good timing that we've got our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital joining us to take us through a full Money Monday today. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Excellent.
And so let me start just by establishing you're not a huge football fan, so you're not going to be unpacking your thoughts on the Patriot-Eagles game.
And not because of what the NFL, some players, you know, chose not to, you know, honor our flag, not for any reason. I watch a few football games in my life. It's not in my genes, as they say. I was actually traveling the weekend, spending time with my family. We were in a silver mine and a copper mine and saw some gold. And so did a family little retreat for 4 days away. So I didn't really get to see much of the game.
Well, a family retreat for the Fisher family, given that you operate Landmark Capital and Landmark Gold, seems to make a lot of sense. You don't spend every family vacation in a mine looking at silver and gold, do you?
No, the last time I did that was about 15 years ago.
So it's been a while. Okay.
Not a family vacation, but in a silver mine.
Right, got it. Okay, just checking. I wanted to make sure you weren't taking these things too seriously. But anyway, it's great to have you here. And of course, yeah, the down, which we're going to talk about a lot, a major correction. And again, down another 1175 today. I mean, the last week and then today, man, it's just one drop after another. So we've been talking about a correction for a while. We'll have that discussion with David. But I did want to take advantage of the fact that the Super Bowl was yesterday. And I think the faith of the guys in the Philadelphia Eagles, which there's some great stories out there. I've shared a lot of them on Facebook, where God's really been doing a unique thing in that team at the Bible studies and professions of faith. They've baptized some guys in hotel pools while they've been on the road this season. So that was kind of cool. But of course, now they're all going to get, talk about precious metals, they're all going to get some major bling with their rings. So what are those things like? Are they, I mean, Tom, I'm so glad Tom Brady didn't get a sixth. But what those things look huge. They look valuable. So what's the deal with an NFL Super Bowl ring?
Well, obviously, for some of the believers on the winning team there, the Philadelphia Eagles, their riches are stored up in heaven. So the ring might not have the same sentimental value to others. But in perspective, there's five companies, Steve, that put these rings together. And over the average cost of the ring, the value is $36,000, as low as that. Some say now they're as high as $50,000. The Super Bowl ring from last year from Brady, his is estimated at $250,000, not because of the actual cost, but just, you know, the inherent him being the owner of that ring.
Right.
But last year's ring was designed with 283 diamonds, representing the score in the third quarter of 28-3. Then the Patriots made the biggest comeback in history, Super Bowl history, against the Atlanta Falcons. But some of the rings historically have been made out of gold. Last year's was platinum, lots of bling to it. Another side note, the Vince Lombardi Super Bowl trophy that was written on a restaurant, written on a napkin in a restaurant, designed that way, made out of sterling silvers, 7 pounds, and under current market prices is about $1,400. But obviously, the ring and the trophy, their inherent value, or their perceived value, is much more than their inherent value. So who knows what the real value is? It's that's, I guess, where the owner of it can dictate the real price.
Yeah, I doubt any of these guys are going to be hawking their Super Bowl rings at the local pawn shop in order to pay 1 month's payment on one of their cars. But it is interesting to see kind of what these guys are doing and what the bling is involved with that. Well, I'll get back to kind of nuts and bolts here. The Dow Jones Industrial today, of course, plummeting down 1175. It was down over 600 on Friday, had a pretty bad week last week. And we've been talking for months, really, about a correction. Do you think this is the correction you've been warning about?
Well, I think there's going to be more than just one correction. What causes the correction is something that's overvalued or a bubble. And this is one of two major bubbles. There's about four or five of them. And I got a white paper out that we'll talk about a little bit later in the segment of the program today, but talks about several bubbles. The two main bubbles, though, is equities, which is the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 mostly. And then the other bubble is the bond market, which creates mostly is derived of U.S. securities in the form of treasuries. So this bubble here is, I don't know if I say it's bursting, but it's doing what it should do. It's in a pullback mode, evidence of last Friday and then today. And who knows if this is going to continue. I'm going to make a prediction here that I could see us having a couple more down days possible, but at some point there's going to be a lot of money rushing into this market in a correction, unless we have this turns into a lot of people being concerned and panicked about it, then you're going to see a big sell-off. I don't see that because the fundamentals here support higher movements up in the equity market over this next year, but eventually we're going to see a big correction. I don't know if this is that one. I think what will trigger that is going to be the bond market.
Yeah, and is there anything that you think was triggering this particular drop between last week and today? Is there something that we could point to and say, hey, I actually think this is what caused it to happen?
Well, it's not one thing. I think it's a group of things. People in their gut have said, this thing is overvalued. I mean, now the Dow year-to-date, Steve, is flat. It's slightly negative, actually. But at one point, it was up 7%, and that's just unheard of in a month.
Yeah.
So people recognize when something is overvalued, it's got a crux. So there's that element. There's very well-respected analysts are saying the market needs to correct, and people who are actually trading in the market who own hedge funds are saying those things. So there's a lot of billionaires that have come out this last year and said it's highly overvalued. Some people say it's the Fed that triggered this thing, and there's a little bit of factual documentation to prove that.
Yeah.
Janet Yellen did.
Well, hold that thought.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, hold that thought. We're coming up on the break. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Great information, great education, and a great supporter of this show. LandmarkGold.com is their website. This is Steve Noble. It is a Full Money Monday and a lot to talk about today with regards to our finances. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Great to be back in the studio today and with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And if you want to talk to his team there, and they've just great, outstanding information and education, and they've been helping us along as we've talked about financial institutions and the markets and banking and the international financial scene. And then a lot of us that listen to talk radio, regardless of whether you're a Christian or not, but people on talk radio, especially conservative stations around the country, are always hearing about gold and silver and this and that, and it can be really confusing, which is why it was a blessing over coming up maybe on about 2 years of doing some radio mm-hmm. together, David and I. I was just as confused as most people going, okay, is there something to this, the use of precious metals and portfolios? What can we learn here so that we can be better stewards of our finances as followers of Christ? Because just as a reminder, sometimes people are like, why do you talk about finances once a week? Because Jesus talked a lot about it. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions in the Gospels. An amazing 1 out of 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. So you find it all over the scriptures, and obviously it's a short pathway to our hearts, and we need to be good stewards of it. We need to be aware of its role in our lives, not just as followers of Christ, but in general as people that are trying to provide for our families and provide for our futures. And that's why it's important to stay up on this and have these conversations, which is why we're so grateful that David Fisher is with us. And just in case you're newer to the show, we do a full Money Monday, the first Monday of the month, which we're doing today with David. And then the other Mondays, we just do a little Money Monday update, which we do in the final segment of the show. And so it's just a great resource for all of us to learn from. But if you want to dive a little deeper, get some more education, 844-879-8882 is their number, 844-879-8882, or you can just jump over to their website at landmarkgold.com. But David, we were talking about kind of the correction and a normal correction that we're seeing right now after a really, really heated January and, of course, a heated 2017 and even over the last couple of years. But we talk a lot about bubbles, and what bubbles should we primarily be concerned with right now?
Well, this is obviously in a bubble when the market moves 7% in a month, which is what it did prior to what we saw here last Friday and today. That's one metrics of many that the market has measured, that it is highly overvalued in reference to the normal movement where it's 7% in a year. And so that the market has just done phenomenal, 50% in the last 2 years, 35% last year, and now you're a slightly negative year to date. But I think we're going to continue to have higher values in the Dow and the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. We were talking earlier about before the break there on who might have triggered this. It's not one thing or one person, although I will say this, that bull markets don't die of old age. They die by central bankers. The last three times the market has tested the brand new central banker, and Jerome Powell was sworn into office today as the new Fed chair earlier today, this morning. And sure enough, look what the market is doing. Now, it's not his fault. It's not Yellen's fault, the outgoing chair. But I will say this, that sometimes what happens, and Bernanke did this when he left the office of the Fed chair, he was able to talk much more freer. And certainly Janet Yellen did that over the weekend. She was on CBS Sunday Morning, Steve's, the program there, and she was asked the question about the market, you know, if it was too high, overheated, those types of questioning. And she said this, well, I don't want to say it's too high, but I do want to say it's high. And then she also went on to talking about one of the metrics that we've talked about before is the price per earnings ratio. She said the price per earnings ratios are near the high end of their historical ranges. She also went on to talk about the bubble in reference to commercial real estate and also alluding to stocks. She said, now, is that a bubble or is this too high? It's very hard to tell, but it is a source of some concern that asset valuations are so high. So she doesn't want to label that the market is in a bubble, but right. She's alluding to all the facts that it's showing signs of a bubble. I think that's one reason of now her coming on the aftermath of her being in office. Now she can speak a little bit more open, just like Greenspan did, just like Bernanke did.
Right.
I think the market is testing the new Fed chairman, and that's just normal. So this is a lot of normalcy. We don't like to see markets correct, especially when we're involved in them. But that's part of life. When markets get overheated, they will correct.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, we talk about the central banks a lot. You mentioned it already in the show. Why do we pay attention to them? Why do we pay attention to their balance sheets?
Well, this is so important, Steve, to understand. Central banks do influence the market. I mean, look at what happened with quantitative easing, where they created $4.5 trillion out of thin air using assets called mortgage-backed securities. You know, the securities that were defaulting on mortgages that were worthless, that people couldn't get out from under. Those were an asset, not a liability, according to the Fed. And so the Fed increased the balance sheet. All central banks, just not only the United States, the Fed, but the European Monetary Union and also the Bank of Japan, those three central banks combined have created $16.4 trillion in assets since 2008. That's the biggest movement of creating assets in the history of the world. And as a result of that, we're 14% higher than what was the level prior to the pullback in 2007. So it's important to watch what is happening. And now the Fed has announced that they're going to get rid of some of their assets called U.S. Treasuries. They're going to be the biggest buyer of the last 7, 8 years, 10 years, excuse me. Now they're going to be the biggest seller. So what they do is they're influencing the market. So if the thing about that for a second, our own central bank, who holds the most dollars in the world, is now the biggest seller of the dollar. So that is causing some concern. This is causing yields to go up. We watched the 10-year yield, which was high as 2.82% today. It closed at 2.74. I don't want to talk all technical, but this is a concern. It creates a bubble in the biggest market, being bonds, which are U.S. securities, and other countries that make a bond to keep their government supporting their overspending. So we're going to see probably eventually when the Fed continues to sell more of their assets, their balance sheet is what they call it, because they got $4.5 trillion.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to get down to around $880 billion, and it's going to be a 3 or 4 year period of time to do that. What's going to eventually happen is most analysts, and I hold this true also, the other central banks are going to start to sell their assets too. This is going to create a bigger bubble in the biggest market in the world, which is bonds, and that is the whole market that supports the whole financial girding system.
Wow.
That's the market that we're really watching, that we're a big concern. That could trigger something much more larger than 2008.
Yeah, which is quite alarming and sobering to say the least. Why is the central bank doing that? And I'm asking as a lay guy that, I'm just trying to keep up with you. This is the central point of what you do, and you understand this all. But why are they doing this? What's triggering the central bank to want to sell all the assets and change this around? I want to get to that. We're coming up on a break. But I want to get that question answered, and then we'll talk about, because we talk about balancing portfolios a lot, which, of course, is where you come in and talk about precious metals. But when things are tanking, like we've seen just in the last few days, if gold's supposed to be the right place to be, why have we not seen it go up a lot in the last small period of time? So we're talking to Dave Fisher about that with Landmark Capital. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ, magnified all over.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you all. Doing an important Money Monday, especially since the Dow Jones Industrial today was off 1175, and just a huge correction. It was down almost 1,500 points at one part in the day, and I saw it go from down 800 to down 1,500 to down 900 in about 40 minutes as I was driving to the studio today. And again, all the way back on January 2nd, the Dow was at 24,830. Today, after these two big sell-offs, 24,373, and the high was back on, looks like, January 26th at 26,608. So it's come down over 2,000 points. And it's not something several people were talking as we were on the break through Facebook Live and some other people involved in the financial industry. Most people are saying, don't freak out. Don't lose your minds. Don't get too emotional about it and make snap decisions. But it's helpful to get as much information as we can, which is why we're so grateful that our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital's on. Once a week, we do this Money Monday, a full Money Monday show, the first Monday of the month. So that's why we're doing that today on February 5th. And a happy belated birthday by one day to my daughter, Amelia, who's just this wonderful, vivacious young woman, turned 20 yesterday, which I still refuse to believe I'm old enough to have a 20-year-old. Even though my older son is 22. But happy birthday, honey. I love you and I'm proud of you. You can pray for Amelia because she's got my personality, which is sometimes great and sometimes not so great. And I can hear people all over the country saying amen to that. But anyway, we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is landmarkgold.com, or their phone number is 844-879-8882. And David, you were talking about the central banks and them selling off a bunch of assets and how that impacts the bond market and everything. But I asked a question right before we hit the break, is why are they doing this? Why are the central banks getting so aggressive to sell off so many assets in such a short period of time?
Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, I mean, that's a great question. I get asked. In fact, that's one of my questions I'm being asked probably tomorrow on TD Ameritrade. I'm now one of their regular contributors. I think I'm going to speculate a little bit. First of all, having a $4.5 trillion balance sheet is not normal. That's like having 105 degree temperature, so to speak. You're close to
unhealthy, very unhealthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Fed, a balance sheet under $1 trillion is a normal balance sheet by our Federal Reserve. So that's number one. Number two, when the rates are doing what they're doing, when the yields is going up, that creates a loss for a holder of a treasury. So they literally have a guaranteed loss by holding $4.5 trillion. Mm. So, or at least 2.5, because 2.5 of it is what the treasury side that the Feds are holding. So if you're a central banker, would you hold something that you have a guaranteed loss in, that as you continue to raise rates to normal levels, that causes the yield to go up, which causes you to lose more money? Are you going to sit there and just automatically lose money central bank? The answer is no. So they're forced to sell this asset. But I think the other thing is that maybe, and I'm just going to hypothecate this for a second, maybe they see what their actions really are, because they are the Fed. They create bubble after bubble, and they fix the other bubble that they just popped by creating another bubble.
Right, right.
So they're gearing up for another bubble, and they got to have a low balance sheet, not a high one, a historical highest it's ever been in the history of the world. They got to have a low one so they can buy the right assets to create enough money flow. So when the next problem comes, the bubble bursts, and I think it's going to be the securities in our treasuries, unfortunately, they got to have the money wherewithal to inject it in the market to support the market. So this tells us there is another bubble forming. They know it. We've been talking about it, Steve. It's not popped yet, but that is a much bigger bubble. I think they have a crystal ball, so to speak, in the future of this.
Yeah, and you know, and on the street, I think we would call that a shell game. Our friend on Facebook, who's also in the financial industry, had some great one-liners. He used this one before, that the Fed is both the arsonist and the fireman.
They are both that, and you know, the central bank was never created for that purpose, but they've evolved into that purpose. Just like, you know, we didn't used to look at the market every day, what it did, or, you know, we used to look at it, you know, once a quarter, once a week, once a month. Yeah. Now we're like, a lot of people are looking at what it's doing every hour. So the market has evolved. The Fed has evolved as such, and they've gained a lot more power than they were even created to be doing and controlling the markets. They're actually influencing the stock market.
Yeah, so you know, so alarming to watch this happening on the institutional level, and the government's got so much control and so much influence in so many areas, which is why, you know, it gives more clarity to why God would call us to pray for those in authority over us, because we're so good at getting ourselves in so deep that the only way we can get out of these things is just by God's grace and his wisdom. So let's make sure we're praying for those an authority over us. Well, talking about precious metals, and let me switch gears here. You know, and generally, David, if you know, Landmark Capital, Landmark Gold, if gold is the place that's basically should be a safe haven, why have we not seen it go up much as the stock market has been correcting over and what's been going on here lately?
Well, if we look at what happened last year, is we were in a bull market in both stocks and gold, and stocks went up about twice as much as gold, not quite. So that's unheard of, usually. I mean, we've had another time in history when we've had bull markets in both stocks and gold. We're having a retraction in stocks here today. Gold is up just a little bit. You would think, you know, the people in my industry are going to tell you that gold's gone up, will go up a whole bunch. I think it's kind of reminds me of this movie called The Hunt for Red October. If you remember when Sean Connery, the captain of the submarine, they were going through some channel. I don't remember the exact name of it. It just reminds me of the story, though. And he was saying, hold, wait, or, you know, something like that. Like, do anything right now. Just wait, wait. Then all of a sudden, hard left or hard right, I can't remember exactly. But they made the sub turn through this cavern. When we look at what happened in 2007, originally gold went down. And then it was a hold, wait, and then it made a huge movement, about 50% in 2009. So we're in the early stages. Gold is a safe haven, but we're not there in a critical stage of a panic yet. I think we're going to see a little bit higher prices in gold, but I think when the big bubble bursts, you're going to see a big movement in gold. That's why, you know, there's a survey or a report that was done by I think it was Harvard, that having 10% of your money in precious metals, gold and silver, allocated over long term of the portfolio, reduced the risk and increased the production, the upside movement of the portfolio. So it does make sense. We have history to show us that. I wouldn't get carried away one way or the other, but it does make sense to be well diversified. You know, one of your listeners on Facebook said, is now the time to be selling the market in equities? My competitors would tell you to get out today. I say hold for a little bit. If there's a panic that starts, then you might want to start pulling some profits off the table and sidetracking it into cash, and maybe looking at some diversification in precious metals.
Yeah, I always appreciate having you on here. You're not pushing all 100% in one direction or another. We're talking about diversification and balance and being smart and measured, which is not just for those of you that maybe haven't heard us doing the Money Monday before with David Fisher. But David, not just an expert and has been in the industry for over 20 years, but also my brother in Christ. And I got to know him and about his business a lot before we ever did anything, because I'm a steward of this time. I have to be careful about who I let on the air, because whoever I let on the air, I'm bringing by trust to you guys out there in the audience, whether you're watching on Facebook Live or listening on the radio. And so I'm very, very careful about that. And so that's why David and I spent literally hours and hours on the phone before we ever did radio together. And I really appreciate your approach, which is why you're here. And it's been a great benefit to all of us. But going back to the government and the big machine out there, February 8th, of course, looks like the next vote to keep the government open. So what'll happen? Do you think they're going to vote? They're going to have to do something. But what will happen if we don't have an agreement?
Well, if we don't have an agreement, obviously the next result of that is a shutdown of the government like we had last time. We didn't have agreement here in January, and they're fighting over DACA, the same fight that they're having today that they're supposed to, and President Trump laid out a very clear plan that I thought was very fair, and he didn't get everything he wanted, but he's not going to negotiate the wall. And he wants to make sure that, because that's proactive, not reactive.
Right.
And that's what he campaigned upon. And he was elected as part of him being the president on that premises of getting the wall done. So he's not going to give in on that one. I'll be surprised. The Democrats are not wanting to give in. So we kind of have a stalemate again. We'll see what happens on Friday. That's at midnight. That's when the government will shut down again. It's not going to be the end of the world. We might just have another weekend thing, and then they'll come up with an agreement, a continuing resolution, kick the can down the road. But the hard money date is coming up, so we can't kick this thing too far.
So when we say that, and we're coming up on a break, when we say that there's a day that the government will actually run out of money, we'll pick this up when we come back from the break, because I got to get to a commercial break here. But when we say the government's going to run out of money, is that actual, or is that some kind of theoretical weird phrase that we use? We'll talk about that, and we'll talk some more about diversified portfolios and what they've done over history, because we need to look at the history in order to understand the present and have some understanding about the future. We're talking to David Fisher. This is Steve Noble. It is called Action Radio. Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you here on a busy Money Monday. We do these a full show. We do a full Money Monday show with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is LandmarkGold.com, and their phone number is 844-879-8882. A great partner here on the show, great supporter of the show, great friend and brother in Christ, and just helps us understand these very complex financial issues. But if you want to get education, information on your own with David and his excellent staff, that's the way to do it. You can just jump to their website, which is LandmarkGold.com, or give them a call at 844-879-8882. And David, we were just talking about the quote unquote government shutdown and another vote happening later this week on February 8th. And we talked about the government running out of money. Is that just kind of a theoretical thought, or can they literally run out of money to fund the government? Because they spend about $10.3 billion a day. That's why when President Trump says, hey, I want $25 billion to help build a wall and shore up our border security down south, and people freak out and go, yeah, so much money, $25 million. I say, and now $25 billion is about 2.5 days of spending at the federal level. But would they actually run out of money?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, and because you have to understand, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just have
the Federal Reserve printed. The Fed is not government. The Fed is an independent agency that is a corporation that is not government and has no federal acquaintance, only from the standpoint of our country gave over the right to it in 1913 to monitor and create the money supply. So the debt of our country and paying our bills is different than creation of money. So there's a thing that the Secretary of Treasury, not only the present one, Steve Mnuchin, but previous ones have used, is called extraordinary measures. It's when the government doesn't agree, Congress can agree on a budget, then they go into, let's borrow from Peter to pay Paul, simply put. They're moving the shell game around of money. They borrow from the disability fund. They borrow from the Social Security fund. They borrow from several different funds. And they're only allowed to borrow so much from that fund until they have an agreement, and then they pay back that money. That's why when we finally have an agreement, you'll see the debt balloon, because they'll put what they borrowed on the national debt. They'll pay back those funds or pay back those accounts. So there will come a time that the Fed or the Secretary of Treasury will not be able to get any more money to keep the government open, and that the government paying its bills, excuse me, because the government still is going to pay its bills while the government is shut down. There will come a time, and there'll be the time is now late March, early April. That's why we've had lots of time to get this agreed upon. Unfortunately, our government, Congress, is not working towards paying down or coming to agreement. So it's going to come to haunt us if they don't agree sooner rather than later, coming up here the next month.
Yeah, and that's just, it's so frustrating to track this, because it's just the same old, same old. It doesn't seem to matter whether we change presidencies. When we change the president, we change the party that's in charge of the White House. Congress is still just a massive problem and just continues to kick this can down the street. And I think that we miss an opportunity oftentimes in the news and just in our regular conversations. We talk about this in purely financial terms as if there's no moral component. But there is an enormous moral component. And when I teach the kids that I teach every week on Thursdays, I'll have them again this week, the civics and constitution course that I teach, and I show them the national debt clock, and I show them what's happening right underneath their noses. And I ask them, hey, by the way, who do you think is going to pay for this? Who do you think this hammer is going to fall on? And they all of a sudden they wake up and they go, us? And I go, yeah, how are you going to pay for this? How are you going to do this? And what do you think about us using your credit card to run up $20 trillion, and we're not even talking about unfunded liabilities in the next 25 to 30 years, which is over $100 trillion. And they just go, that's just wrong. What are you guys doing? Is that immoral? Yeah, obviously. Okay. It's like we need a tea party amongst the younger people to call us out on our immorality.
You know, this comes down to human behavior is all it is, Steve. The fall of man. And not wanting to deal in the now and in the moment with what we're financially sinning is really what's happening country.
Clearly.
And we don't deal with it. We think of long term, it will deal with itself and it will take care of itself, because this is America and this is what makes America great. Unfortunately, though, we have to deal with this coming up here in the next month and a half. Otherwise, we will have severe ramifications for that. And long term, we have to start to come up with a plan, which they keep saying this. It was said under President Obama. It was said under President Bush. It was said under President Clinton.
Sure.
Said under several presidents. No person has come up with a long term fix. That's why the debt continues to grow. We'll be forced to deal with it at some point. And that's when we don't really want to have that environment coming about.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, and I think this is really important to revisit this topic in terms of just a diversified portfolio and its benefit historically, because, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when these things are happening in the market. We shouldn't be surprised when we see the government doing what it's doing with respect to finances and the debt. But what's happened historically in terms of trying to have a diversified portfolio and its benefit when the market's doing what it normally does, which is these ups and downs and then occasionally the major down?
Well, obviously not all asset classes move at the same time. We're moving into an environment when bonds are now in a bear market and they'll probably become more severe bearish, where maybe a 30, 40 or 50% loss in the market. But if you compare gold to the Dow, gold has gone up since year 2000, 345%, while the Dow has gone up about 125%. So even there's been huge, incredible movement in the Dow, gold percentage-wise still has outpaced the Dow. So there will be times when the Dow will outpace gold and vice versa. This is why it's very important to not have all your money in one area. Not even all. It would be insane to have all your money in paper assets. It would be just as insane to have all your money in gold. So you want to have a portion to 8, a portion to 7, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. That's what Scripture says. And when the market corrects in paper, gold historically counterbalances. That's the other side of the scale. Talking about the book of Leviticus, the two balances of weights and measures, that's what gold does. It balances the portfolio. It's a financial insurance plan. We wouldn't have a house without an insurance. Right. You wouldn't have a car without insurance. You won't, many of us have life insurance, health insurance. This is financial insurance.
Yeah, and I think that's one where most people don't think about that. They just kind of go all in on our mutual funds and on our stocks, but we don't think about something outside of that asset class, because that's really all that most stockbrokers and financial advisors want to talk about. Do you find that most investors that you have a chance to talk to, maybe first-time people reaching out to you guys, David, are just kind of – do you think the average investor in America is kind of clueless about this balancing act that you can pursue using precious metals?
Yeah, most people don't understand how you balance your portfolio by using precious metals as one piece of many pieces within the portfolio. You know, we have put all 99% of our money in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and hope for the best. That's not the global model towards a balanced portfolio. And unfortunately, we have these times where that market takes a big hit, and it kind of is a wake-up call. So what you don't want to do is go through a huge hit and not have anything on the other side of the portfolio, specifically intangibles, precious metals. So that's why I'd rather be 2 years too early than 2 days too late. So when is the time to be buying gold? Yesterday is the time to buy gold. Last week, 15 years ago, when gold was much cheaper. Gold is going to get more expensive as time goes on because you can't create more of it like paper assets.
Right, makes perfect sense. Tell us, you've mentioned the white papers and some of the information that you have out there. Tell us about that. What's the most recent one you have out?
Well, it's coming back from the print shop this week. It's called Time Is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate. Talks about 7 or 8 markets that are in bubbles. Obviously, one of them two of them we talked about, the equities and also the treasury market. So those are the two big ones. There's other ones called debt and credit, real estate. So I go over them. I talk about historic highs and where we're at today and why you should be concerned and how you protect yourself in it.
Yeah, and how can people get a hold of that particular white paper?
They can get a hold of it one of two ways, by either going to our website at landmarkgold.com, or they can do it the old-fashioned way like I do and talk and have a conversation by calling 844-879-8882.
Imagine that, an actual conversation. Occasionally I'll be in some back and forth on a text thing, and I'll go, what am I doing? And I'll just forget texting, and I'll just call somebody, and they're like, hey, this is Steve Noble. Remember me? Ever remember my voice? And then we can actually have a conversation. It's amazing how effective that can be. David, always great to have you on, and really appreciate your expertise and your help with all of these complex issues. Thanks so much for spending the time with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, buddy. And hold on, because I want to pray with you when we're done here with the show. And by the way, everybody on Facebook, on Facebook Live, we always, after the show is over, we always spend a couple minutes praying. Sometimes we pray for each other, and people on Facebook Live will share their prayer requests with me, and I'll kind of pray through that. And other times we pray about a specific subject based on what's happening on the show and what the Lord kind of lays on my heart. So today we'll pray with David after the show is over here in just a minute. If you want to join us on Facebook, that's facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, facebook.com/C2A Radio. We'll ask God to give us wisdom and help us as we manage our finances, hopefully being good stewards of all he's given us. Again, if you want to get some more education, some more information on these subjects, Landmark Capital is a great way to do it. The website, landmarkgold.com, or give them a call, like David said, the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882. 888-382-8882. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. We might have our good friend Andy Irwin in town from the Irwin Brothers talking about their movie coming out next month. I can only imagine.